Evening. Well, I've got a quick little quiz for you as we start this evening. I wonder if you know where this is.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. What if we give you a bit more of the picture? Does anyone know where this is? Oh, now you're starting chatting. Anyone think they know where this is?
But.
Hold, okay, next one, let's see. Where is this? Yes. It's Wembley Stadium. In fact, even more, this is Wembley Way, the way to Wembley Stadium. You come out of Wembley Underground Station in London, down the big steps, and then straight ahead of you is this awesome Wembley Way, and you're looking at the arches of Wembley, the home to English football. Wembley Way is the way to Wembley Stadium. What Jesus claimed tonight is, I am the way and the truth and the life. I am the way. But the way to where? Last year, my husband and I surprised our kids. I think this is one of our kind of better parent moments, see what you think. But we woke them up really early on the first day of the school holidays. And we said, right, get up, we're going. And they're like, going where? What? You know, sleepy eyes. We're going to the airport. We're going to Mallorca. Complete chaos and squeals of excitement followed, as you can imagine, as we tried to get out of the house and to Gatwick for a 6 a.m. flight. You see, knowing where you are going, knowing your destination, dramatically affects how excited you are for the journey. If we'd woken up our kids and said, hey, get up, it's 4 in the morning, we're going to go to the dentist, do you think they'd have squealed with excitement and jumped out of bed? No. Oh, someone said yes here. I don't think so. Well, spoiler alert, Jesus is the way to God. Jesus is the way to knowing God, the God who created the universe, who flung stars into space. You can know him. Does that excite you? We've been getting a clearer picture of Jesus from John's gospel each day this week. You've read about his resurrection this afternoon, right? At the end of the book, and now we've come backwards in the timeline of Jesus' life to chapter 14. And the question I want you to consider tonight is this. Do you know Jesus? Like, really know Jesus? Do you know God? Not just up here in a head kind of way, yeah, maybe you've grown up in church or know the stories and the facts and the claims. I want you to engage with whether you know Jesus here, in your heart, in the very core of your being. Have you set the sat-nav of your life to destination Jesus? Destination knowing God. Jesus makes this claim whilst having dinner with his disciples, the Last Supper, just hours before his death. And so he tells them soon he's leaving them, he's going. They're confused, they're anxious, they're troubled. Many of them had given up everything to follow him, and now he's leaving them? When Jurgen Klopp announced his departure from Liverpool last season, these were some of the tweets. Absolutely distraught, gutted. We will never get another manager like Klopp. Big shock to all fans, utterly devastated. Fans, Liverpool fans, troubled. But it worked out good for Liverpool, didn't it? As they lifted the trophy of victory earlier this year. And it'll work out good for Jesus' troubled friends too. It's just they don't see it yet. They don't get it. And troubled, what Jesus' friends feel here, troubled, it's something we all feel, not just in sport, but in life. Troubled by the suffering, troubled by the unknown of the future, troubled by the claims of other religions or people who don't believe, troubled by our own disbelief and failure. But I hope you've seen this week how kind Jesus is to people with troubled hearts, how loving, how he cares, really cares for his disciples. See verse 1 of our reading tonight. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe, Jesus says. Trust God. Trust me. God has got it. My going is all part of God's good plan. And then he unpacks that plan. Verse 2. My Father's house has many rooms. See, Jesus is soon going to die, to rise again, as you've been looking at in your team times, and ultimately to return to his Father in heaven. That's where it's all heading. But I wonder this evening, what picture you have in your mind of heaven? Maybe you've not thought about it much. Maybe you've got a sort of image of a kind of cloudy place or a sort of semi-existence floating around kind of peacefully. Well, heaven, the Bible tells us, is a real physical place, a place where God is, a house, a home where God lives. You know, one of the things that professional sports players and athletes on tour talk about is how hard it is being away from home. Home, that place where you feel safe and secure, where you feel known and loved. Well, Jesus wants his disciples to know he's not abandoning them. He will return, he will come back, and he'll take them to be where he is. He will take them home, home to his Father in heaven. And the Bible talks about that day when Jesus will return. In Revelation, it says it will be a day when all things will be made new, a new creation when Jesus returns, new bodies. God will dwell with his people. He will wipe away every tear. The Bible tells us there will be no more pain or suffering. There will be no more death in heaven. God's people in God's place forever. Destination home. That's where it's heading. When you know the destination, it can help you be a little bit more excited on the journey, right? But you know, 10 million people in the UK play sport every week. 10 million people, that's a lot, or around 10 million. We haven't obviously counted precisely. But as far as we're aware at Christians in Sport, very few of them believe in the claims of Jesus. I don't know about you, but it doesn't often feel like Christianity is where it's at. Not many Christians in your school, perhaps, in your team. Yeah, Laura, heaven sounds great, sure, but will there be many people there? Well, look at Jesus' words here again. My Father's house has many rooms. He's talking about heaven. Many rooms, lots of rooms. Heaven will be full of people. There is room for anybody, room for everybody. All are welcome, whoever believes. It'll be the most inclusive and diverse community you could ever imagine. My Father's house has many rooms. Room for your coach, room for your teammate, for your mom, for your dad, for your friend at school who you think would never be interested in Jesus. Room for you, room for me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that was not so, Jesus continues, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? Now, Jesus is not preparing a place in his Father's house in the way that perhaps your parents are preparing your room tonight back home, maybe some clean sheets. Maybe they're kind of actually now pulling out all that dirty laundry from under your bed. They're kind of taking out the stinky trainers, maybe putting in some nice flowers on the windowsill. No, Jesus is going to prepare a place, a room for us by dying on the cross. Jesus' death is the route, is the way, is the path to God. One of our kids' Bible books puts it like this: because of your sin, you can't come in. but Jesus died to pay for your sins. So jump and skip and walk right in. Because Jesus died, we can sing that song with confidence. And a lot of you did. Now my debt is paid. It is paid in full by the precious blood that my Jesus spilled. Now the curse of sin has no hold on me. Who the Son sets free, oh, is free indeed. Free to know God. Jesus has made a way. Jesus is the way. But the best bit is that Jesus is not just the way to a distant place in the future when we die, as though he's just booked us a room in the dream house of heaven. Now, the best bit is that Jesus is the way to God now. It's the way to knowing God today, to having a relationship with God. And in verse 5-7, you can see that relationship. It's not with a harsh head teacher with a list of do's and don'ts. It's not with a critical coach who's judging you on your performance. A relationship with God is with a good, loving Father. I wonder if you know the story Jesus tells of the son who wanted to cut loose from his father, took his money and spent it in a haze of wild living. But then his money ran out, his friends left him, and he was alone, lost and hungry, with only a job feeding pigs to get him by. But Jesus tells how the boy came to his senses. He realized that he had all he needed with his father at home. So he starts to plan a sorry speech. You know, the kind of speech that you kind of rehearse in your head when you know you've done something wrong and you need to go and tell your parents. But the father had been waiting, watching every day for his son to return, longing for his son to come back home. And Jesus says, and you know, I think this is my favorite verse in the Bible. He says, while he was still a long way off, his father saw him, and his father ran to him and threw his arms around him and kissed him. He'd have stunk of pigs, but the father didn't care. He welcomed him home. His son was lost and is found. He was home. Home with the father who loved him. And if you know Jesus, you know this father. You know this welcome. Well, you should. If it's here, let it move from here to here. Because this welcome is your welcome. This father is your father. No matter how far you may have strayed, if you believe and are trusting in Jesus tonight, then you have a father who has welcomed you into his family with arms open wide, who loves you, who loves you, who loves you no matter how much you've messed up, how many times you trip up, whatever you've done, you are his child. You can say with confidence, this is me, a child of God. And one day he will come back and he will take you to be with him forever. Listen, if that's you tonight, don't move on from Jesus. He is the way to knowing God. The way in is the way on. Lean into Jesus. Listen to him, to his words. Live each day with Jesus. Play your sport with Jesus. Go to school with Jesus. Pray. Talk to Jesus. And point others to Jesus. Don't be ashamed to tell your friends about Jesus. I'm saying this to myself as well. I often feel ashamed. Don't be ashamed. Jesus, he really wants to know them. He's gone to the cross, paid for their sin, prepared a room that they might know him, that you might know him. Jesus is the way to knowing God, because Jesus is the truth about God. Look again with me at verse 6 as we come to finish. Jesus says, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. It can feel a little uncomfortable, this verse, can't it? Not very our culture or our times. Sounds exclusive, narrow. you know, actually quite arrogant, some people would say, for Jesus to claim that he is the only way to God. Maybe at school or in RE, you've heard the parable of the blind men who encounter the elephant. Each touches a different part of the elephant's body. Someone's got the trunk over here. Someone's got the ear. Someone's got the leg. And because they can only feel one part, each man forms a different idea of what the elephant is like. Who, after all, can grasp the full complex reality of such a beast as an elephant with just their part? And that's okay, people say. Everything is a perspective, is an opinion. There's no fact, no truth, people say. And who can grasp the full complex reality of God except God himself? So yes, you know, if Jesus was just another religious leader claiming he knows the only way to God, then it is arrogant. But if Jesus is the truth about God, if Jesus is God, and this is what you need to reckon with this week. I mean, look at what he did last night. He ordered a four-day-old corpse to come out of a grave. He died and 3 days later rose again. Who can do that? But God alone. If Jesus is God, then you can believe and trust his words when he says, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. He's not exclusive. He's not narrow. He is loving. He is loving because he's made a way when there was no other way. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not die but have eternal life. Life. Life to the full. Life with God, knowing him now and forever. Do you know him? This really hit home for me personally when I was 15 at the funeral of my aunt. She was just 53 when she died. It was really, really sad. And at the funeral, my dad gave a talk and he spoke about how throughout her life, my aunt Sarah knew God. And he spoke about the profound impact that had had on so many people. He spoke about how she believed Jesus' words when he said, I am the resurrection and the life. He said she was now home with her father. No more pain, no more tears, no more suffering for my aunt. But what really stuck with me and still has many years later, and I'm standing here sharing it with you, is how he ended this talk in front of lots of unbelieving friends and family with a church packed, as you can expect when someone young dies. He shared this verse. Jesus is the way and the truth and the life. And if Sarah was here today, I think she'd want to say one thing to you. It's true. It's true. It's true. And then he just sat down, crying as he walked out of the pulpit. I'm going to pray in a moment. A simple prayer. It's a sorry, thank you, please prayer. And the words are going to come up on the screen. Perhaps tonight for the first time, perhaps for the 100th time, you would like to say, yes, I believe. I believe in Jesus. I want to know Jesus. I want to know God now and for eternity. I believe it's true. I believe it. It's hard. I find it hard and it's confusing sometimes. But remember Jesus' words at the beginning here. Do not be troubled. Just believe. Trust God. He's got you. You are his child. He is your loving father. By his spirit, he goes with you when you go home tomorrow. He is your home until one day he will return or call you home to his Father's house in heaven. So take a minute, there's going to be some music, to just quietly read the words of this prayer. And then I'm going to lead us in praying it. And if you would like to echo those words in your heart tonight, then do that. And tell your team leader tonight. Let them know you've made that decision. We'd love to pray with you. We'd love to support you. Just take a minute as you think about this for yourself.